you for the privilege to be here tonight, and man, what a blessing. Just that youth choir tonight, that was worth coming to church for, amen? What a blessing, and you're no doubt blessed here at Bible Baptist Church. What a beautiful house of God that you have here, and I just want to say thank you on behalf of our country that you share your man of God with us, and he is a help to our country. He's a help to our churches. And I know it's a sacrifice from time to time for y'all to let him go, but if you knew what a blessing, what an impact he is making in our churches across America, it's just, and even the young people too, that are having a desire to want to be like that man of God. And if you just knew, I'm sure you probably hear a lot of it, but we're thankful that you share your man of God with us, and thankful to be in a place tonight where people hadn't got over their salvation. Amen. What a blessing to hear the testimonies tonight. And the single greatest day of our life is the day we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we were gloriously born again. There's no greater day. It's the most wonderful day. We should never, ever get over it. And so I am so thankful to be with you and be in God's house tonight. We're going to be in the book of Jonah chapter 2 tonight. A little bit of a different text, but Lord willing, we are lined up with our Lord and have something that would be helpful for you tonight. In Jonah chapter 2, we are going to read the first 10 verses there. We'll give you just a second to find it, but once again, preacher, thank you for the privilege to be here. It's an honor and it's a privilege, and just to be able to come and worship with your church folk, what a blessing that is. Jonah chapter 2. And if you would, you want to stand with me? You don't have to. Only if you're able to, out of the reverence of the reading of God's Word, we'll just read the first 10 verses there. Jonah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground." Father, we are thankful to be in your house with or these dear saints of God. And what a privilege to have a perfect book. And we already know that it's complete, and Lord, we already know that it's perfect. And so, God, we just ask for your favor and touch to be upon the Word of God, the preaching tonight. And as we've set aside time for teaching and preaching this book, we just ask as your messenger that you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. And everybody, mostly, if you've been around the house of God for any period of time, you know about Jonah, amen? You've heard about him from Bible stories when you were a child. And listen, you know how important that is? You know how valuable that is to hear the stories about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and Moses, and all of these stories, and parting the Red Sea? Because that's a wonderful thing, because there's a child. As your child, if they will believe that, they won't have too much trouble believing salvation when it's presented to them later on, amen? And it's pretty valuable to have that in Sunday school. You say, well, what difference does it make? I tell you, it makes a big difference. That it begins to get them to fall in love with the Word of God. And if they believe that He parted the Red Sea, they could believe that He could save them. Amen. But in this tremendous story, God told Jonah to go warn the wicked people of Nineveh about His coming judgment. And listen, if you know anything about that, you know that he was a little upset because he didn't want to do that. And these were some cruel folks. I mean, these people were known for taking God's people, filleting them alive, taking their flesh and wrapping it around the gates of the city. I mean, there was some wicked stuff going on and taking place. And he probably had a little bit of resentment in his heart. I don't know, but he didn't want to go. And so we're aware of that. And we're going to find that he's going to get on a boat here in a little while. But instead of doing what God had called him to do, Jonah took off in a ship for Tarshish. And listen, you can go on the boat and you can go wherever you want to go and do whatever you want to do as long as you don't mind paying the fare. Hey, you don't know what the fare is going to be, but you are going to have to pay a fare, amen? And you can do whatever. Hey, every man has their own volition, their own will, their own desire, their own way. But I'm going to tell you, there is a cost for it, and you do have to pay the fare, and the Lord Himself sets that fare. But he was going just as far as he could possibly go in the opposite direction. And then we know that God sent a storm. And so this storm came to this ship, and obviously they came to a place where they pinpointed Jonah as being the problem. Well, then they decided they were going to throw Jonah over and overboard because this is what was going to take care of the problem. This is what he told them. Hey, I'm running from God. The problem's with me. The issue's with me. And so they took and threw him overboard. You're going to find that, man, what a terrible thing. We think about Jonah being swallowed by this large fish of some kind. But listen, if he wouldn't have hit a drowned to death. Hey, even though he was running from God, even though he was in sin, he was still in the protective hand of God. And he would have drowned at sea if it would not have been for the delivery, the rescue, and the delivery of this great fish to come along and then bring him to shore. Amen? And so it seems to be a difficult situation, and it no doubt is a difficult situation. And the last thing that Jonah thought that morning when he got up and got ready, that he would be riding out to shore in the belly of a fish, amen? That is probably the last thing that crossed his mind. And I don't know about you tonight. I don't know what you're going through in your life. And maybe some of you have lost some family members in recent months, some people that you really loved and cared about. Maybe you've found out about some traumatic health problems that you got. Maybe you've been given a verdict anyway with your health. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Maybe your marriage is just hanging on by a thread. Maybe you've got some wayward children, some children that are trying to find their way and they're running from God. God, like Jonah? Wait, whatever your problem may be tonight, I'm just simply going to tell you and I'm going to encourage you, regardless of how bad it is, listen, God is there and God is available and God sees and God knows, and be careful about ever giving up and on your prayer. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That simply means never give up on prayer. Never stop praying, regardless, because you know it's the will of God for your children to come back home. You know it's the will of God for someone, a lost person, to be saved. Don't ever give up on praying for your lost family members, your lost friends. But how can we get to the place, back to the place? Jonah was not in a place of thanksgiving, not at all. But he got there, amen. He had to get thrown overboard. He had to get in the belly of a fish. But he came to the place where he was thanking and praising God again. And listen, if you're truly one of His children, He's going to bring you to that place. And He's going to give you an option and allow you. He's going to bring you and bring you the test to your life. And He's going to try to poke you and prod you to get you back to where you're going to go, where you need to be. But he found himself in one of the worst terrible jams you could possibly think of. But Jonah made it to the place. He got himself to the place of thanksgiving. Amen. But if you look back in the Word of God, I would like for you to look back at verse 2 with me. I'd like for you to look at verse 2 in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2. This is where Jonah, and I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that as he was in the belly of the fish, he said, I probably should be dead and drowned already. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, he recognized, I'm foolish. Yeah. I made a poor decision. I made a bad decision. Don't matter how much I dislike these people. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what my will is. It doesn't matter what my desire is. Here I am. God has protected me in His grace and in His mercy. In my sin, running from God, causing a shame in the name of God in front of these people in that boat. And God, in His mercy and grace, still delivered him with a fish, amen. But you're going to find out what happened. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord heard him, amen. And listen, no matter where you're at tonight, no matter what's going on in your world tonight, I assure you and I promise you, I could spend the rest of the night taking you through the Word of God and showing you that He does hear you. He does hear you, and God doesn't respond when we think He ought to respond, but He does hear you. Hey, maybe you're not 3 days. Hey, Jonah was just 3 days in the belly of a whale or the belly of a large fish. But maybe your fish experience, it may be a week. It may be a month. It may be 6 months. It may be a year. But He does hear you and He will respond. And He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And He heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, amen. And thou heardest my voice. And let me just say, first of all, in reference to this idea of getting yourself back to this place of thanksgiving in your life, maybe the water's just over your head. Maybe it's just up to the top, right below your nose. And maybe you're just struggling and you just don't know how much more you can take. You don't know how much more you can handle. I would say first this evening, cry out to God and He'll hear you. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. There's all the difference in the world in talking and having a conversation with God. And there's a great big difference when you cry out to God. Well, let's just kind of draw a little picture. I have daughters, and my daughters can call my name, whether it's in a public area or in the house. And you know what? We'll make our way over there. Amen. We'll get around to coming as soon as we get done doing what we're doing. But if you cry out in distress to their father, you better look out, because doors ain't going to stop. People's not going to get in the way. Hey, I'm coming. And listen, there is nothing. There is no boundaries. There are no restrictions. When they cry out, when they call out to God in their distress, in the pit of hell, if you will, in a difficult place in their life, hey, Daddy's coming, amen. And I'm telling you, if you're a saved, blood-washed, born-again child of God, you cry out to the God of this universe, your Father, hey, He's coming. He's coming. And when you're way underwater, I would just encourage you tonight, cry out to God. Cry out to God. And hey, in your distress, cry out to God. In verse 1, it said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God, amen, out of the fish's belly. But in verse 2, Jonah looked back on his prayer. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So I would say to you tonight, cry out to the Lord and He will hear you too, just like He heard Jonah. Hey, listen, sometimes we get ourselves in a mess for making bad decisions, just like Jonah did. But that's okay. He still loves you. He still has grace. He still has mercy. He's still long-suffering. He still wants His child to be back in good graces with Him. And if you will come to the place where you'll repent and cry out to God, I assure you, your God and my God is going to be there to deliver us. Listen, don't be careful about overestimating the power of prayer. Hey, that's what we got. We got prayer. That's our access. We don't have telephones. We have prayer. We don't have direct contact, if you will, face to face, but we have prayer. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's never too busy for us, ever. And only God, you know that, right? That only God could have got Jonah out of that situation right there. You know the greatness of our God, that He would allow that fish to come by, scoop him up, and keep him safe even in his distress. And then He began to command the fish and give instruction to the fish and tell him, bring it over here and vomit him up on dry ground. Hey, listen, the winds obey, the animals obey. Hey, and we ought to obey, amen. And only God can help us with many of the problems that we face today. Hey, they're saved. Thank God for people. Thank God for friends. And thank God for family. But let me tell you, there's some things that only God's going to be able to help us with. And Jonah only had to wait 3 days, but I promise you that was a long 3 days, amen. Can you imagine when he got spit out on dry ground? Hey, listen, I'm sure he had everybody's attention if anybody's around seeing that action that went on. I mean, can you imagine probably a couple layers of his skin had been removed? He was probably looking like an albino of some kind. I mean, he had everybody's attention. But Jonah didn't give up, amen. He didn't give up. He cried out to his God. He repented to his God. He came clean with his God. He got honest with his God. And he cried out to him and he rescued him. And he delivered him. And guess what? He used him. Amen. The greatest revival ever. They say it's a city about the size of Chicago. Can you imagine? You know, oftentimes I think about I went to a secular university first before I went to Bible college. But can you imagine that if it's the size of the city of Chicago, in 3 days in the belly of the fish, how many people died in 3 days?
Yeah, that's right.
How many people didn't get right with God? Yeah. How many people in those 3 days? You say, what's the big deal? Just 3 days. Hey, it's a big deal to somebody.
Right.
Hey, there was three days.
Right.
There was 3 days when he was running from God. There was 3 days he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And I oftentimes think about that as a preacher, that the years and the time that was wasted doing what I wanted to do. I wonder how many people died and went to hell. You may have to wait longer than 3 days, but I would encourage you tonight, please don't give up on God. It doesn't matter how you feel tonight. It doesn't matter what you think tonight. It doesn't matter what the adversary is telling you in your ear tonight. I can promise you, and I got a book that proves it, and I got a God that is faithful, and He hears you. And not only does He hear you, He will rescue you. He will deliver you. So I would say first what Jonah did, he cried out to God. He came clean with God and he cried out to God and asked to be rescued and delivered. And that's exactly what God did. Secondly, I'd like for you to go back and look at verses 3 and 4 with me. The Bible says in chapter 2, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again," amen. "I will look again toward thy holy temple." And I would say, secondly, what I feel like Jonah did to get himself back to where he needed to be, he looked up to God in hope, amen. And listen, hey, just a little bit of hope in the right object, Jesus Christ, will get you a long way in the Christian life. And Jonah was in the deep, and he was in the deep part of the sea, and he was in the belly of a fish, the scripture tells us. But he kept looking up to God in hope. Jonah spoke with hope as he called out to God. In one of the darkest places, no doubt, that you can imagine, literally, physically, spiritually, in a terrible, terrible place. And he was still had some hope. If you look at verse 10 with me real quick. Look at verse 10. "The Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. Jonah looked up in hope." Remember that that giant fish saved Jonah from drowning in the sea. Sometimes we get away from God, and maybe sometimes we're not gotten away from God. Maybe it's a situation like Job, and maybe God's trying to do some work in our life, and maybe God's bringing a test in our life. And listen, you know that a test, right? You know it's just an opportunity. Hey, every test is an opportunity. And it's not an opportunity for God to find out something about you. God knows everything about you already. God don't bring tests in our life so he can find out. Hey, listen, as teachers, we give tests so we can find out what our students know. God gives us tests, gives us opportunity. God gives us tests to find out about, so we can find out about ourselves. Amen. God already knows everything. He don't need to give us a test to figure out. Hey, the test is for us. Amen. But it's an opportunity. Hey, when a test comes to your life, something you don't like comes to your life as a born-again child of God, and to a certain extent, it ought to excite us. Now, I understand it's a little bit difficult to get past that, to get to that place, but what we know is that God's bringing a test to my life, and it's not because he don't like me. It's not because he's mad at me. He's just bringing a test in my life, and if I can pass that test, God says, here, come with me. Come with me. I've got something for you. I want you to do more for me. I got more opportunity for you. I got more privilege for you. I know it may seem a little bit difficult, but look, if the test is already there, might as well pass it. Amen.
Because if we don't pass it, you know what happens, right? We got to take it again. Every test that we take that we fail, we got to pass again. But if we just pass that test, but see, what you know what we do though? We get upset with God. We get angry at God. And I'm tithing and I'm faithful to the house of God. I'm doing all that I'm supposed to be doing. Hey, God, what are you doing? He said, I'm just drawing you a little bit closer. I'm trying to give you more opportunity. I'm trying to give you more privilege. I just want to use you in a greater way. I just got to test you to find out if you're serious. Cry out to the Lord. He'll hear you. Look up to God in hope. Of course, at first, that seemed like getting out of the frying pan into the fire, right? To get thrown overboard, but then get swallowed up by a fish. But when the Lord led the fish to the right spot, and the fish vomited up Jonah on the dry ground, God could send a big fish to you tonight if that's what you needed. Hey, whatever your need is tonight, listen, if God can take a fish and send him in the ocean somewhere to scoop up a man and take him to the beach and spit him out on dry ground, hey, surely you think you know that he can handle your financial problem, right? Surely he can handle your issues with your children and with your spouse and your family. Hey, surely he's big enough to touch a doctor and give him wisdom beyond his years to know how to take care of you if he's been given a terminal disease. God is able to do that. The reality is, where's our faith? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He said, I'm able. But you know what's missing? The willing. The willing. Who's going to partner with God? He says, hey, I'm all powerful. I have every. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, I've got everything it takes to get the job done. But I'm looking for somebody in their faith to partner with me. And he's going to take his ability with our willingness and do some great things. Do some great things. Amen. God could send you that fish tonight if you needed it. But more likely, he will send somebody. See, God uses people, and thank God that God uses people. He probably won't send a fish to you, but he'd probably send somebody. Somebody with a big heart and somebody that loves and somebody that cares. And God will touch them. And when he touches them, he'll send them your way. And they'll be there to be a help to you, to be a blessing to you. See, God will send people to help you in a time of need. That's what he did in our country. Hey, that's what he did in our country. I mentioned this morning, hey, we are blessed today, and I'm thankful. I'm excited today. I'll be honest with you. I was pretty put out with our country and our government and all the things that was going on and even the people in our country. And I mean, if you check out any news, you think the whole world's crazy. But we found out the whole world's not crazy. It's just that one group of people, they're just real loud, amen. But hey, there's still a good host of people in the United States of America, hey, that still love their country and still love God. And we are privileged tonight to be part of this good country, amen. And the grace of God has come by our way, and he's given us another chance. He's given us another opportunity. Hey, as a church, what are we going to do about it? Hey, he's not worried about what the world's going to do. You got to get your eyes off the world. You got to get your eyes on yourself. You got to get your eyes inside the house of God. And listen, he's coming to the house of God first. When we get right, we'll take care of the world. But he's looking at us first. But in late 1620, 102 passengers of the Mayflower began their new life in Plymouth, Massachusetts. The first winter was brutal. By spring, nearly half of them had died from sickness and starvation. The situation was no doubt desperate, but God sent a young Indian named Squanto to rescue. More than a decade before the Pilgrims arrived, a group of English traders had also sailed to Plymouth, and some trusting Indians came out to trade. Well, when they came out to trade, you're going to find that they were taken prisoner and sold as slaves in Spain. Squanto was one of the boys sold into slavery. But his owner treated him really well, and after all, he led him to faith in Jesus Christ. Squanto eventually made his way to England, and he worked in the stables of a man named John Slaney. Mr. Slaney promised to put Squanto on the first ship bound for America. So after 10 years, after he was kidnapped, Squanto was finally allowed to go home. But when he arrived in Massachusetts, he was met with more heartbreak because an epidemic had wiped out his entire village. If anyone ever had a reason to be upset or to be bitter and to be hateful, to be angry, it was this man, Squanto. But he had trusted Christ and he was born again. He was a child of God now. And when that Mayflower arrived, Squanto went to them and shocked the pilgrims by greeting them in English. Squanto's help was priceless. I don't know, maybe you've read some history about him. But let me tell you what Governor William Bradford later wrote. Squanto became a special instrument sent of God for our good. He showed us how to plant our corn, where to take fish, and to procure our commodities. He was also our pilot to bring us to unknown places for our profit, and never left us until he died. Squanto even left his possessions to the pilgrim as a remembrance of his love. God helped Jonah through a fish, and he was able to swallow him whole. And God helped the pilgrims, and God helped these folks that were trying to establish a country. He allowed a man to be sold into slavery and then taken away and learned English and then brought back to make a difference so the country, the United States of America, could get off the ground. Amen. And surely God will help you tonight. God will help you tonight. Hey, if you don't believe it, that's just between you and God. But I'm telling you right now, God will help you tonight. Hey, God will come through for you tonight. God hears you tonight. If you're serious with God tonight, He'll hear you. He'll hear you tonight. And surely God will make a way to help us. He is our hope. Amen. I know everybody's got hope in a lot of different things, but man, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I get to the place of thanksgiving again? No doubt, I can cry out to God if I get myself in a spot and I get somewhere where I'm not supposed to be, or whether it's somewhere God sent me for a period of time, whatever the case may be. But when I get to the bottom, when I get to like when I feel like I'm in the depths of hell, all I have to do is cry out to my Father and He will rescue me. He will deliver me. Next, I want to say, if you look back in your Bibles, look at verses 5 and 6 of chapter 2. Said the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. You're going to find there in verses 5 and 6 there, Jonah spoke to the Lord with great gratitude, did he not? You look in verse 9 with me. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with what? With a voice. Yes. With a voice of thanksgiving. Yes. And you know what he did? He not only cried out to God, not only did he look up to God, but then he began to get vocal about it. He began to tell other people, if you will. That's where it's headed. That's where it's going when he gets to Nineveh. And in verse 9, Jonah said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And now let me tell you tonight, salvation is of the Lord, and we ought to be vocal about it. Amen. We ought to tell somebody about it. Hey, why would we let our Father die? Why would we waste the grace of God because we wouldn't tell somebody else about the day that we trusted Christ as our personal Savior? And He saved me and He can save you too. Amen. God wants us to speak out. God wants us to speak out about Him. I know they want to suppress Merry Christmas. And listen, that's another thing that I'm just excited about. I'm glad we got a president that's got enough sense to know. He's got enough sense to know the Christians they're not going to hurt us. All they're going to do is help us. Amen. At least they'll pay their bills. At least they'll show up where they're supposed to show up. At least they're not killing one another. Hey, leave them people alone. At least we got a president that's coming down the pike that's going to be a help to us like that. Amen. He wants us to speak out. He wants us to speak out about the goodness of God. They're still reading about Jonah tonight. Still talking about Jonah tonight. When's the last time you've told somebody at work how good God's been to you? When's the last time you told your neighbor? When's the last time you spoke to your neighbor and you told him how good God was? When's the last time you told him about the day that you didn't know where you were going to spend eternity, but somebody brought the good grace of God, brought the Word of God by, and somebody took a Bible and showed me how I could be gloriously born again? Wouldn't you like for me to share that with you? When's the last time you bragged on the Lord? Hey, when it comes to our neighbors, you be careful about knocking on the door. Hey, if you died and you went to hell, if you died today, would you go to hell? It's going to take a little more than that.
Right.
Hey, you're going to be living by these people. You know what you got to do? You got to start loving on these people. You got to start praying for these people. You got to look for opportunities to be a blessing to these people. Hey, you got to open up your house and your property and your area. And whatever they need, it's God's anyway. Hey, yeah, you can have it. You can borrow it. Whatever you need. Because I'm trying to get to the end game. And the end game is that I give you the gospel. And you get born again. And you can get to go to heaven with me one day. Hey, that's my role. That's my responsibility. You know why you're here on earth, right? It's not to make money. It's to reproduce yourself. That's why you're here. We're here to walk with God first thing in the morning. But after that, the rest of the day, it's our mission and our drive ought to be that we're reproducing ourselves. We're reproducing ourselves. We're telling somebody about the greatest news in all the world, giving somebody another opportunity to hear the truth from the Word of God and they could get gloriously born again. Hey, brag on your father tonight. That's what it's going to take. Man, your neighbors and your family is going to grumble and they're complaining, and we're going to take the opportunity to say, man, let me tell you about my father. Let me tell you about what he's done in my life. Let me tell you about where I was, and let me tell you where I'm at now, and let me tell you where I'm going. Amen. What a privilege. What a privilege to be able to be associated with our father. But then I believe with all my heart, he wants us to brag on him. He's a jealous God. Hey, be careful about taking the credit. Be careful about taking the credit. Hey, mama and daddy, you'll do yourself a great service. You'll do yourself a great service to give God credit for everything that happens in life. Hey, I know that mama and daddy, we want to try to take some credit from time to time. We want to look like the big man, whatever. But let me tell you something. The best thing we could possibly do is divert it to God. Hey, no, daddy didn't do that. God used daddy to get that done. But in reality, hey, it's all God. God did that. God provided. One time we had a family do something great for us in our church, and we talked to the kids and we said, man, God did this for us and how wonderful it. Hey, God didn't do that. Miss Kathy did that. I said, no. God touched Miss Kathy's heart, and God told her to do that, and she just minded God. Hey, it's all God's anyway, and God touched her, and she was obedient, and she minded God, but it was because of God. We ought to give God the credit. We're just here at Christmas time, so we might as well say something about it. Hey, I ain't giving Santa Claus zero credit. I mean, if I am going to take the credit, that's the time I'm going to take the credit, but he ain't getting it. He didn't do a cotton-picking thing, and he doesn't get any credit. I'm sorry if I'm messing you up tonight, but I'm telling you, hey, mom and daddy ought to get the credit, if nothing else. But hey, give God the glory. Give God the credit. Give him the honor. Hey, point them youngins to Jesus Christ. You won't be sorry that you did so, amen? We're hurrying tonight. We're almost done. How can I get back to the place of things? I don't know. I just know how Jonah did it. I know how Jonah did, and he was in a bad spot. He's in a spot I had never been in before. Probably safe to say nobody else in here has been in the same spot this man's been in. But can you imagine how dark that was? Imagine how lonely that was. You see even the little detail and the stuff wrapped around his head. Can you imagine how awful and how difficult that situation was? Do we want to be thrown overboard in the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of a fish, so he can get us to the place that we will cry out? You know that we can cry out before we get thrown overboard, right? We don't have to get thrown overboard before we cry out to our God. Hey, we could, like the prodigal, we could come to ourselves because we're out of our mind. Because if we're out of our mind, hey, I can cry out to God and get right with God, or I can be thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, stay there for 3 days. Hey, let's pray about that decision. You know why? We're delusional. Listen, when we get away from God, we get contaminated in our mind. And we get contaminated, we become delusional. We do things that we would never do. We would say things we would never say. We would go places we would never go. Why? Because we are out of our mind. We are delusional. We have allowed the adversary to corrupt and contaminate our minds and our hearts. And the next thing we know, got the enemy, got the world throwing us overboard. But man, God's still faithful, isn't he? God's still faithful. Lastly, I want to say to you tonight that, well, let's just read verses 7, 8, and 9. And so when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And it's important to remember that Jonah was in the pits because of his own disobedience. And I find here that Jonah turned back to God, but he turned back to God in obedience. Amen. Once God got his attention, where did he go? He went to Nineveh. He went and did what God had called him to do. And a lot of times it's the same with us. Hey, regardless of how we get in the jam, we got to get out. We had a major tragedy at our church in the last few days. It's a terrible thing that I don't even want to talk about. But let me just simply say, as I spoke to the people, I said, listen, the why is not important now. Hey, sometimes the why just don't matter. Sometimes we just don't need to figure it out. We don't need to understand. We don't need to have an answer. Hey, the why is not important now. What's important is how do we get over it? How do we get past it? How do we get back on track? How do we not repeat the same foolishness? We need the same kind of commitment that Jonah had there. We see in verses 7, 8, and 9. And there Jonah told God. That is the kind of commitment we all need for the cause of Jesus Christ, especially because of what he's done for us. As Jonah said in verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. And Jonah's story points us to the cross of Jesus Christ. Think about it. If anybody ever needed to be rescued, it was Jonah. I mean, that's a unique story. I'm looking forward to talking to him one day, and I'm going to find out what really went on. And I'm going to find out what really happened. I want to find out all the details. I want to find out what he was thinking. Obviously, he wasn't thinking. He was like the prodigal. He had to come to himself. And listen, sometimes God will bring us to the bottom so that we can come to ourselves. But once again, you don't have to wait there. You don't have to get there. Maybe the reminder tonight, it's not anything you don't know tonight, but maybe you're getting the reminder tonight. Hey, don't make God have to get somebody to throw you overboard. How about rescue plea? How about cry out to God? Hey, and he sends somebody to help us, not somebody to chuck us overboard. Was there anything he could do to save himself? I don't think so. But Jonah trusted the Lord. And so should we, because salvation is of the Lord. Hey, and this story really is like the story of Christ, is it not? It's even referenced in Matthew chapter 12. But Jonah's a picture of Christ, if you will, as Jonah, right? As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. See, Jonah was an Old Testament picture of the coming Christ. Jonah in the fish 3 days, Jesus in the grave. 3 days. But the difference is Jonah went through intense suffering because of his own sin. Jesus went through intense suffering and he died because of me. Yeah. And there's a big difference there. And he rose again to save everybody who would trust him. And if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure where you would spend eternity tonight, let me assure you that salvation is of the Lord. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, if you leave out of here tonight and you end up in a place called hell, it'll be because you chose to. Because God's will and God's plan and God's desire is for everyone to be born again. I want to close by reading something to you in reference to Lincoln's proclamation in 1863. Came at a spiritual turning point, he said, in his life. He said, during the first week of July that year, the Battle of Gettysburg had occurred. It was the turning point of the Civil War. Between 8 and 12,000 men killed, over 30,000 wounded, and another 10,000 men were missing. The following November, Lincoln gave his famous Gettysburg address. It was while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves at Gettysburg that he trusted Christ. He later explained to a friend, when I was in Springfield, he said, when I left Springfield to assume the presidency, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, it was then and there that I consecrated and trust Christ as my personal Savior. I would encourage you tonight, would you trust the Lord tonight? Would you turn to the Lord tonight? Hey, He'll forgive you of your sins. Hey, there's nothing that He can't handle. There's nothing that He can't take care of. There is no problem. There is no issue. He's got hope for you tonight. Are you going to wait tonight? Are you going to wait till we're thrown overboard to cry out to God? What if we just cried out to God?
Yes.
What if we just cried out to God ahead of time?
Yes.
What if we just got our heart right and then listen, when God comes through for us, might we have a voice of thanksgiving?
Yes.
That we would tell anybody and everybody that would listen how good God's been to us. Hey, I would encourage you tonight, whatever your situation is, might you cry out to God tonight?
Yes.
Hey, you might have to swallow your pride to cry out. You may have to humble yourself to cry out to God. But I encourage you tonight, it'll be the wisest, the greatest decision. And listen, the God of this universe loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Would you come tonight if you've never been born again?